Europe's economic leader is lagging.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. The economic engine of Europe has run out of steam. Figures just released show the German recovery has stalled. Marketplace's Europe correspondent, Stephen Beard, has our story.
Europe's powerhouse helped pull the rest of the eurozone out of recession in the first half of last year, but the German economy stagnated in the last quarter. The end of the cash for clunkers scheme hit demand at home, and exports failed to pick up the slack. Germany is now suffering from Chinese competition. Germany's weakness is casting a pall over the rest of the eurozone, and that, says Charles Dumas of Lombard Street Research, means more trouble for the single currency.
The euro economy is feeble, and I would be expecting investors in Euroland to be trying to get their capital out into places where there are rather better prospects, and of course that will bring down the euro.
He says the Germans have made matters worse for themselves and the euro by insisting on big cuts in public spending in Greece and other southern European countries. He says that will further undermine demand for German goods. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
For the eurozone in general, things are not looking bright. Italy's economy went into reverse last quarter, and eurozone growth overall was almost flat. European stocks are mostly lower now, by about 1%. Asian markets were higher, but after those markets closed, the Chinese government once again ordered banks to increase their reserves. That's a way of putting on the economic brakes. In New York yesterday, the S&P 500 gained 1%, the NASDAQ up 1.33%, and the Dow added 105 points, closed at 10,144. White House economic advisors yesterday released their forecast for job growth, and it looks pretty weak, with unemployment staying around 9% at least through next year. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, says even if jobs do come back, wages won't. Good morning, Chris.
Hello, Bill.
Why wouldn't salaries bounce back when the economy eventually does?
Well, because companies don't want to raise wages.
Okay.
And
they've
come up with a different way. Well, they never do. And, you know, with a 9.7% unemployment rate, they're not going to have to do it for a long period of time. But the other thing is, Bill, is large companies have come up with a way to avoid raising your base pay. So your base pay is that 3%, maybe 4% increase that we all expect during good times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if you eliminate that, maybe put it in 1%, but instead you add variable pay?
Variable pay. That means
what? Don't you love that term? Variable pay.
Sounds foreboding.
It is. It's just sort of like an annual bonus based on some sort of performance benchmark. So if the company's doing really well and you meet your benchmarks, you'll get perhaps a nice little bump up. But the company's not doing well. The economy's not doing well. Your industry is lagging. You get nothing. So companies don't add to their fixed costs. Hmm. Instead, what they'll do is they'll share a little bit the good times. Well, I got to tell you, Bill, over a long period of time, what does that add up to? Not much.
But you don't think the good times will come back and workers will share in those company good times?
If you look at variable pay, you're putting that on top of a long-term trend of people not getting big wage increases after you adjust for inflation. I mean, think about it. We have the decline of private sector unions. We have globalization, deregulation, you know, whatever sort of jargon term you want to use. But the bottom line story is, companies have kept a tight lid on wages for a long period of time. That's not going to change. Variable pay every once in a while, hey, it'll do you okay. But over a longer period of time, it's not going to change the underlying trend.
And you think that's not temporary? The wage game has changed in this country, huh?
You know, if you want to really just sum it up in a phrase, get used to it.
Oh.
That's the future.
Well, thanks for bringing me down, Chris.
You know, I'm sorry to do this, Bill, but every once in a while, that's my job.
Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Winter Olympics open tonight in Vancouver, And the mayor of that Canadian city is promising the games will be a boon to business. But judging from the past, how likely is that, really? Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
A business professor who studied the 2002 Salt Lake Games has a much different take on how beneficial the big event will be.
I don't doubt that it might make the people of Vancouver happy, but it's certainly not going to make them rich.
Victor Matheson teaches business at Massachusetts College of the Holy Cross and says, if anything, the Salt Lake Games were a net loss. But if that's true, the head of the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce, Lane Beatty, wonders why most people there ended up so happy.
Something like 89% of all Utahns would do it again. So that is overwhelming.
Beatty served as a state liaison during the Utah Games and insists they made money.
We were successful in literally every way.
Professor Matheson contends his study found otherwise. Hotels and restaurants scored gold, but other businesses and tax revenues suffered.
Department stores had a notably poor time during the Olympics, and of all things, ski resorts actually had a terrible month.
You heard that right.
Spectators crowded out the skiers.
Perhaps understandably, the view from the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce is much brighter.
Our ski industry in Utah has grown larger every single year since the Olympics.
Aha, so maybe there is a downside after all. Longer lift lines. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, here's all the business news of the week in 60 seconds. This is the Marketplace Minute. They widened the Eurozone. Now the Greeks are in need of a loan. If the EU determines it's up to the Germans, they'll scream from Berlin to Cologne. Google wants to do high-speed net 100 times faster than what you now get. So fast you can friend someone you haven't met and then download a movie that isn't made yet. Highways were covered and water lines froze. The snow made a million businesses close. A million employees stayed home with their spouses and opened their laptops and worked in their houses. Olympic skiers sliding down fast and losing their footing and finishing last. Sounds like the ratings on NBC. I'll see you at marketplace.org. That's the short version. I'll post the whole Marketplace Minute video at our website. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.